Well, first of all, I suppose people don't realise, even in the north, and especially in the south, the crisis that's emerging in the north of Ireland at the moment. There has been a bill pushed through Westminster which will legalise abortion on demand right up until 28 weeks gestation, when a child is fully formed in the womb. And the north will go from being one of the most protective abortion situations in the world, where, you know, most unborn children and their mothers are fully protected, to being one of the most radically extreme abortion regimes in the world very, very quickly. This legislation was forced through from Westminster. Sinn Féin and the SDLP, over a period of time, lobbied and campaigned and pushed and demanded Westminster to rule directly on this issue for the north of Ireland, which shocked many of us, because many of us who have kind of, let's say, Republican instincts and nationalist instincts, you know, would have been very aware that the you know, Republicans for 200 years have stated that Westminster has no right and no business to legislate for the north of Ireland at all. And that was Sinn Féin's policy on the issue. They radically changed in the last 2 or 3 years under their new leadership. And now they have been you know, seeking Westminster to legislate directly. And indeed, they welcomed wholeheartedly, publicly and at council, the fact that Westminster is going to deregulate and decriminalise abortion on demand in the north of Ireland up until 28 weeks. The leadership of the SDLP did exactly the same, and the SDLP sells itself as a pro-life party, but its leadership is very active in actually making abortion on demand available in the north of Ireland. So this regime goes far further than the existing regime in Britain, and actually far further than the existing regime in the south of Ireland, and people in the north have only woken up to it. So obviously the genesis of AIM2 is, over the last year we've had major debates on this issue in the south of Ireland. Many people from a nationalist background, north and south, felt that they had no place within Sinn Féin, the SDLP and Fianna Fáil especially anymore, because they saw these parties flip 180 degrees in a very short space of time and radically change their policies and then actively campaign for abortion. And, you know, as a result of the actions of Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, and the Labour Party in the south, we will see an abortion rate that was about 3,500 to 4,000 last year in the south of Ireland go to 11,000 this year, just in the space of a year.
Are those figures confirmed?
The figures aren't confirmed at the moment, because Harris won't publish the figures until maybe June next year. But there is a campaign group, a pro-abortion campaign group called START, and they have confirmed that their doctors are feeding this information to them. So that's their estimate. So this is not an estimate from the pro-life side in any way. It's an estimate from the pro-abortion side. So that's the situation. So it shows you, when you change the law, it radically increases the amount of abortions that happen.
Because it makes it okay in people's minds. If it's the law of the land, it's okay.
A couple of reasons. One, it just makes access much easier. So, you know, access is a key element of demand and supply. So if you had, you know, if it wasn't, you'd have one hospital in Ireland. If it wasn't, you'd have one Tesco's in Ireland. So when you provide services and distribute them close to the people, their access is massively increased. So therefore, the incidence of the service is radically increased too. And secondly, when an issue like abortion is legalized, you know, it gives societal license to the action itself. So it becomes okay to the end of life of an individual living human being societally, and that culture changes and people's attitudes towards life change. So obviously AIM2 was developed from a group of people who felt that rather than ending the life of individual living human beings in difficult situations, we actually need to give the economic confidence to mothers to be able to raise their children and to bring their children to full term. We know that 85% of the abortions that happen are because of socioeconomic reasons, because of the policies actually of Simon Harris. For example, 19 women gave birth homeless last year. So, you know, Simon Harris says he is pro-choice, but the policies he implements make women feel that they have no choice. So we felt that there needed to be a proper delivery of services and economic confidence to parents so that they could bring their children into this world.
Just in terms of the United Kingdom, I mean, it's been, David McWilliams has said that it's going to be the end of the United Kingdom and Boris Johnson will be the last Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. What do you say to that?
Well, I don't think it's too far off. There's no doubt in my mind that there you know, England has voted to leave. There's no doubt. And to be honest, you know, if England has voted to leave, England probably should be allowed to leave, even though I don't agree with Brexit. I understand that there's a democratic decision made by the English people there. Scotland hasn't, and the North of Ireland hasn't, and that has to be recognised as well. And there's no doubt that the actions of the Tories and the DUP have accelerated the breakup of the so-called United Kingdom. And even like the latest poll in the North of Ireland shows that there's a majority now in the North, in the case of a hard Brexit, who wants to see Irish unity. That's never happened before. And in the south of Ireland, 77% of the population in the latest poll say they want to see Irish unity as
but
well.
But on that, Seamus Mallon, didn't he come out and say, look, if it's just 51% in, you know, we can't do it like that because that's effectively taking on the role of what we've had to suffer for the past, you know, 100 years.
Well, I was surprised to see Seamus Mallon say that, because Seamus negotiated the Good Friday Agreement, and that's what it says in the Good Friday Agreement. So if you support the Good Friday Agreement, you have to support the idea of political consent and the majority view, and that's hardwired into the Good Friday Agreement. Now, don't get me wrong.
Is it not dangerous to take, you know, do you not
well,
want
first
a healthy,
of all,
healthy majority before
well, we,
you...
Listen, you know, we want to bring as many people in the North of Ireland with us in this direction.
There's Even no, if it means Union Jack has to fly over Dáil Éireann?
Well, first of all, I have no doubt that, you know, in this new Ireland, we will have to negotiate exactly what this new Ireland would look like. And indeed, Aintu has been calling for a new Ireland forum to be instituted by the southern government, where all of civic society and all of political views are invited to that new Ireland forum. So first of all, we can mitigate against the worst excesses of Brexit. Second of all, we can start to properly build an all-Ireland economy and society. And then we can start to set about, in partnership with each other, the parameters of what an Irish, a reunified Irish society would look like. And in fairness to the SDLP and in fairness to Sinn Féin, they have welcomed our proposal in this regards. But, you know, what we see is Leo Varadkar, very like David Cameron, you know, just before the Brexit referendum, you know, no preparations made for an impending change. And here's Varadkar with his head in the sand, making no preparations for this impending change either. And both of those are dangerous things to do. So I would call on the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government that they need to get behind the proposal for a new All-Ireland forum.
Former Taoiseach John Bruton came out and said he would actually be in favour of a Truth and Reconciliation Commission being set up in the North. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, we would favour a Truth and Reconciliation proposal in the North of Ireland. We would favour a situation where individuals who have suffered violence in the North, from whichever side they come from, would have the choice in whether or not they would go down the criminal justice system, if that suited them, or a peace and justice reconciliation system as well. In my experience, the latter is often a very good way for people to be able to achieve justice and knowledge and closure for their own pain and suffering. Indeed, we have a counsellor in Dungannon, Denise Mullen. Denise's father, Dennis Mullen, was a human rights activist, and he was killed by the Glen Ann Gang, which was a gang made up of the British Army, the RUC, and some loyalist terrorists in the area. And they shot Dennis dead in the presence of a four-year-old, Denise, and Denise watched her father die. And it's just one of the examples of the impact of the disaster of the Troubles on so many lives in the North. So we think that citizens should have the option in which road they want to go down.